1460 WVOX.
Stay tuned for Building Knowledge with Building and Realty Institute host Jeff Hanley. Mr. Hanley is the Associate Director of BRI, and every Friday morning at 11:30, you'll have the opportunity of learning to build your knowledge about planning, insurance, environmental regulations, and everything you need to know on the local level to build your knowledge. Here now is Jeff Hanley.
Good morning, and a happy Friday to all. Welcome to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the official radio show of the Building and Realty Institute, which is also known as the BRI. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the BRI, and your program host. We thank you for joining us this morning on WVOX 1460 AM, as well as worldwide on WVOX.com. It is the BRI's pleasure to be with you this morning live from the WVOX studios. For first-time listeners, we will explain what the Building and Realty Institute is. Our association is a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization. The BRI is composed of more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. Those members are involved in virtually every sector of the building, realty, and construction industry. The BRI represents our members and the building, realty, and construction sector on a virtual 24/7 basis. If you are a member of the building, realty, or construction industry, we are there for you around the clock. And we are happy to note once again that we are marking the 72nd anniversary of our formation throughout 2018. Again, a fact that we are very happy to acknowledge. The title of this morning's segment is An Insurance Checklist for Your Property for the Spring and Summer Months. Our guest is Jason Schisciano, who is co-president of Levitt First Associates Limited. Levitt First is the insurance manager for the Building and Realty Institute, the Builders Institute, and all of our organization's component associations. Jason is coming to us through a remote phone line this morning. Jason, we thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for phoning in this morning. For starters, Jason, why don't you give us a little bit of an overview on what Levitt First does and what its main functions are?
Sure. So first of all, we're one of New York's largest independently owned insurance agencies. We have a staff of 63 in our office in Tarrytown, New York. Of course, one of the great benefits that we have in terms of our relationship with the BRI is that we offer group discounts on workers' compensation insurance for real estate and construction and development employers. And if anyone needs more information on that, they could call our office or call the BRI. We specialize in terms of property and casualty insurance in all types of insurance for real estate, including condominiums and cooperatives, homeowners associations, apartment buildings, and commercial real estate. And we also do insurance and bonding, surety bonding, for construction contractors and developers. And then we offer general business insurance and personal insurance as well.
There's the background on Levitt First. The number for Levitt First is 914-457-4200. And the number for the Building and Realty Institute is 914-273-0730. If you have any questions for either entity, feel free to call us. We're more than happy to hear from you. Three of the main component organizations of the Building and Realty Institute are composed of boards of directors of co-ops and condos. The name of that organization is the Cooperative and Condominium Advisory Council. Another entity is the Apartment Owners Advisory Council, which is composed of building owners and managers of rental apartment buildings and complexes. And another relevant entity to this morning's program is the Advisory Council of Managing Agents. The acronym for that organization is ACMA. That entity is composed of our region's leading property managers. That being said, Jason, it's spring. Spring is here. Summer is on the way. Things start to happen in terms of outdoor activities. Accordingly, what steps should residential buildings or complexes, such as co-ops, condos, rental apartment buildings, HOAs, take regarding their spring and summer insurance policies in order to be ready for the upcoming warmer months?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm sure there's a bunch of managing agents out there that would love for you to guarantee that spring is here and that winter is definitely over and there are no more nor'easters to come.
No question.
But having had, three or four storms in the last few weeks, the first thing I would say is that as winter leaves us and spring arrives, we start to notice the damage that that the winter season and the toll that the changes in temperature, the freezing, the thawing, the snow and ice have taken on our properties, condos, co-ops, apartment buildings, homeowners associations, and even commercial properties. So, the first thing I would say is there should be a thorough check of the property to check for and repair cracks, uneven concrete, brick pointing work, leaks that might come through mortar, potholes in parking areas. All of these types of things that I mentioned with respect to concrete and pavement and parking areas can lead to slips and falls and injuries, which can be very costly in terms of liability claims. So that's critical. And then checking roofs, attics, and as I mentioned, the brick pointing, the brick and mortar, to ensure that there aren't any ways for water intrusion to come into a building and damage the building property. That's particularly important because slow leaks, what we refer to is seepage, whether it's coming through a slow leak in the roof into the attic and causing mold, or a slow leak through the exterior of a building through holes in mortar. That type of seepage and water intrusion is often not covered.
Jason, sorry to interrupt. We do have a phoner already phoning into Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. Good morning, caller. Thank you for phoning in. Do you have a question for Jason Schisciano?
Hey, good morning. I just want to say, I think you said they were with Levitt First. Is that true?
That is correct.
They're one of our favorite companies in the whole world. This is Jim from Habitat. And Jason, thank you.
How are you
doing, bud? Good. And they walk the talk. They not only say they care about Westchester, but they also volunteered and helped sponsor a home in Yonkers and got all their employees and all their clients to do that. So, they're along with their acumen in insurance and their great history as a family-run business, which has grown, they really give back. So I'm just grateful for Ken and Jason and you, Jason, all your team over there. They know they're successful because of the team they have. So enjoy listening, and here's to both of you. Have a great Easter, Passover, and we got a hammer for both of you again. So keep coming out, all right?
We'll see you soon.
Jim, many thanks, Jim. Thanks for calling in. All the best to you and yours.
All right, say hi to Alan and Seattle.
Jim. Thanks for calling in again. Well, that was a nice way to get it going, Jason. How about that?
It certainly was. Yeah, that was a fun project with Habitat, and we look forward to working with them in the future.
Definitely a good group. Go right ahead now.
To continue on with the spring checklist items, aside from checking the property over, most properties will go through some, especially if they've got a lot of land and green area, they'll go through a spring cleanup. And it's critically important that with the contractors that might be performing that cleanup, that the buildings and properties make sure that the contractors are properly insured, that they have the commercial liability insurance and workers' comp, commercial automobile liability insurance. And with landscape contractors that are doing those cleanups, oftentimes they're applying fertilizer and pesticides, and it's important to check to see that they have pollution liability insurance as well. And then if they're working up in trees or on roofs or in scaffolding on the side of the building, cleaning gutters, that type of thing, they really should have an umbrella liability policy, because as we've talked about in the past, and this is often the topic of BRI meetings, the notorious New York scaffold law means that if a contractor's employee gets injured working from some sort of a height on a ladder or on scaffolding or in a tree, that property is going to be responsible for that injury from a liability standpoint, and it's important to defer that liability off onto the contractor's policy through the proper additional insured paperwork and indemnification information.
If any of our listeners would like to phone in to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the number is 914-636-7359. That's 914-636-7359. Please feel free to give Jason and I a call. Jason is an expert in all matters regarding workers' compensation and multifamily building and operations. So he's the man to direct your question to. We're talking about, right now, in this direct line of questioning, co-ops, condos, rentals, homeowners associations. Jason, what steps should those properties that I just mentioned take regarding their common areas, their rec areas, their swimming pool areas, as all of those areas are prepared for the warmer and spring and summer months?
Sure. Yep. Jeff, and first of all, in most areas of Westchester, in order to open a pool and pull a pool permit, property managers and condos, co-ops, et cetera, are aware they need to show evidence of workers' compensation insurance, among other things. So that's something that can't be put together in a couple hours. It normally takes a few days or more. So important to get on that early rather than have to delay a pool opening. With respect, again, to pools, a lot of properties will hire outside services for lifeguards. So again, it's important to make sure that the service, the company that's providing the lifeguards, is properly protecting the condo, the co-op, the HOA, by providing the certificate of insurance showing additional insured status, protecting the property, the board, the managing agent, as well as an indemnification agreement. Once again, if you've got a contractor that's maintaining the pool and putting chlorine, et cetera, into the pool, that is a potential pollution liability exposure. That's a separate type of insurance, so you want to make sure your contractor has that insurance as well. And then sort of common sense things for pools, for playgrounds, for recreational areas, important to make sure that the proper warning signs are up, the usage hours, swim at your own risk signs if applicable, and that standard safety equipment that you would expect to find, for instance, at a pool is in fact there, like a life preserver and a safety hook pole. And then if you have a playground or recreational equipment that's outdoors, someone should go over that. A qualified contractor, preferably, should go over that and check to confirm that the bolts are tightened. If there are self-latching gates, gates and fences, that's working properly. Just everything necessary to minimize potential liability exposure to the property, so that the insurance doesn't get hit with a big loss.
So I like the phrase you used earlier, common sense. Keep common sense approaches in front of you as these outside areas are beginning to be prepared for the upcoming winter months. Common sense, that's something really, really important to remember. You're listening to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the official radio program of the Building and Realty Institute, which is also known as the BRI. We thank you for joining us this morning on WVOX 1460 AM. And worldwide on WVOX.com. I am your program host, Jeff Hanley. I'm also the Associate Executive Director of the BRI. On behalf of Albert Annunziata, our Executive Director, and Maggie Collins, our Director of Membership, we thank you for joining us this morning. Our guest is Jason Schisciano. He is co-president of Levitt First Associates, which is the insurance manager for the BRI and all of its component associations. We are addressing what properties need to do in order to be prepared from an insurance point of view for the upcoming warm weather, whether it be spring, whether it be summer. Property managers, Jason, should they annually remind owners as well as boards of co-ops and condos, HOAs, and even owners of rental apartment buildings and complexes, should property managers remind all the sectors I just mentioned about getting their respective insurance policies in order for the spring and summer season. Some may say, well, we did that last year, or we did that 8 months ago or whatever. I would think, and I know you would agree with me, it's a good idea for those property managers just to go through that list one more time as we get out of the end of March and we get toward April and things start to improve in terms of weather.
Yeah, I think the most beneficial role for a property manager with respect to these topics is really, you know, to act as a quarterback or a facilitator on behalf of the properties that they manage. And what I mean by that, for instance, is with respect to, you know, spring and summer insurance coverages, I think it's important that a property manager work with the property's insurance broker to make sure that at some point, and it doesn't necessarily have to be at the spring or summer, but maybe more typically at in advance of the renewal of the condo or co-ops or buildings insurance policies, that the broker is doing a thorough review of the coverages and advising the managing agent as well as the building of the coverages that the building may not have that are available. A coverage that would be applicable to spring and summer that is not automatically included in most buildings' coverages would be flood insurance. With the coming rainstorms that we will no doubt have, hopefully not, but possibly superstorms or hurricanes, that type of water can create flooding conditions, and flood insurance is commonly excluded from policies. Oftentimes, if it's not available through the property insurance carrier, it has to be procured through the National Flood Insurance Program. So, you know, to the extent that managing agents can work with insurance brokers to call that to the attention of the boards, that's helpful. And then the other thing managing agents can do is just to do what's necessary to procure the proper risk transfer documentation that I'd mentioned previously, certificates of insurance, additional insured status, and indemnification. And then lastly, you know, hopefully that you don't have a claim, but if there's a claim and a managing agent's got to deal with that claim and the repair or someone getting injured, it's critical that the claims be reported to the insurance broker and the insurance company promptly as possible so that there aren't any issues getting that claim covered if the policy covers it.
Jason, does a red flag go up to property managers of buildings and complexes that are located along the Sound Shore area of our region from New Rochelle all the way up to Rye Brook, even Greenwich? Does a red flag go up to those property managers to be extra careful in terms of flood insurance?
Well, of course, any property located along the coast with coastal exposure, whether it be on the Sound or even on the Hudson, where we've had our clients have had some significant flooding in hurricanes and in the superstorm. The flood insurance, again, is just a really important coverage. If there are mortgages for either the co-op building or for units, for instance, of a condominium, in many cases the flood insurance is going to be there because the lenders are going to require it. But again, if you've got flood insurance, do you have enough flood insurance? Do you have the required flood insurance to be in compliance with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac requirements? So definitely flood insurance is critical. The other issue from an insurance standpoint that impacts coastal properties is every building's got a standard deductible, you know, for instance, for fire insurance. If you have a fire or if you have a pipe break, you're going to have a standard deductible. It might be $5,000 or $3,000 or what have you. But if you're on a coastal area, you're going to have a potentially what's called a wind or hurricane deductible. That could be substantial. It could be tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. And different carriers will offer different wind deductibles or may not even require a wind deductible. So that's something that should be looked at, and the broker for the property should make sure that, you know, the best deductible option for wind and hurricane is in place.
Jason, I'm an owner of a commercial complex. I'm an owner of a retail complex. What do I do to get ready for the spring and summer months in terms of insurance policies? How do I prepare if I'm involved in the ownership of these sectors I mentioned?
I think everything that we've already talked about applies to commercial and retail properties. So not to go into detail again, but just as a summary, for spring and summer, it's walking the property, it's having somebody check that there are not there's no uneven pavement, that there are no potholes in the parking lot, slip and fall situations are corrected. That there's no damage to the building that could allow water intrusion, that properly insured contractors are used in indemnifying the commercial owner, and that all of the, you know, it never hurts to remind everyone that owns commercial properties that all of the tenants of the building should also be providing the landlord with the proper insurance and indemnification information. It's usually required in the lease.
We've covered a lot of ground in terms of preparing for the spring and summer policies. I didn't want, and I know you don't want, single-family homeowners to think we're not thinking of them. Are there any different steps that single-family homeowners should take, or what we've covered? Has that covered that sector of our region, single-family homeowners?
I think it's smart for single-family homeowners to have someone look over their home in the spring and make sure that there's no hidden damage to the home that could cause an insurance claim that could be averted for reasonable amount of money to do the repairs. A lot of time, deferred maintenance, whether it's on a commercial building or a home, can lead to an insurance claim that's not covered because it was lack of maintenance. Fortunately, the New York scaffold law does not apply to single-family homeowners in the same way as it does to commercial properties or multifamily properties, but I would still recommend, where it's possible and practical for homeowners, especially if it's exterior height work, roof work, work up in trees, that they attempt to attain additional insured status and risk transfer indemnification, hold harmless from contractors working at their homes. That can never hurt.
Absolutely. Jason, Leverfirst Associates and the Building and Realty Institute have been partners since 1951, and representatives of both entities are always in attendance at membership meetings of the Building and Realty Institute. We probably have some non-members of the BRI listening. Would you advise them to at least attend a few membership meetings to get a sense of the many valuable networking opportunities that are offered by attending a BRI membership meeting?
Yep. I mean, there's only good things can come from attending a BRI or a component council meeting. That's for sure. Aside from some good food and drink, there's a tremendous opportunity to meet people in the building and real estate, construction, development industries, and the vendors that service those industries. And there's always an interesting and usually informative topic and speaker. So it's a few hours that's typically well worth your time, both in terms of business opportunity, networking, and education.
Do any of your clients often say to you, "Wow, thanks so much for recommending the BRI to us, because we have really gathered some really, really nice networking situations"? Does that happen often?
Yeah, I think that the BRI provides different things to different clients. We're either hearing about the advantages that they get through the workers' compensation safety group and the savings that they're deriving from that, or some of the services that the BRI provides in terms of education or lobbying services on behalf of the industries that the BRI represents. And then the networking is always an important part of it.
Leverfirst is based in Tarrytown. It is quite a large staffed insurance agency. Why don't you just once more review what Leverfirst is involved in and how it can aid members of the building, realty, and construction industry?
Well, Jeff, you've mentioned the long history relationship between the BRI and Leverfirst. I mean, it's been decades and decades. So as we've grown, we've really tailored our business and the insurance services that we provide mainly to the industries that are serviced by the BRI. So we do all types of insurance, And you know, the types of insurance are growing. I mean, there's an insurance now for cyber liability and data breach that, you know, 10 years ago wasn't even on anybody's radar because
Very
it wasn't
true.
The issue that it is now. So we are constantly looking at the industries that we service, construction, real estate, general business, and personal insurance, and making sure that our clients have access to and are aware of all of the different types of insurance necessary to have a comprehensive insurance plan in place.
There you have it. That's a really, really sound endorsement of the BRI and the many services that our association offers. Jason, we thank you for participating in this morning's program. I just have one more question for you, if that's okay.
Of course.
We're 3 months into the new year. Are you sensing, from discussions with your clients, are you sensing that the business community is still optimistic about economic prospects for 2018?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I know time is running short, but insurance is a terrific bellwether of the economy because premiums are based on a forecast that a business owner has typically of its payroll or its sales for the next 12 months. And I would say most definitely the bulk of our clients, construction and developers, et cetera, by virtue of the payroll numbers or sales numbers that they're forecasting, are optimistic about the near-term future.
Jason Schishano, co-president of Levitt First Associates, insurance manager for the BRI, many thanks for joining us this morning on Building Knowledge with the BRI, the official radio show of the BRI. I'm Jeff Hanley, your program host. We thank all of our listeners on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com for listening to us. A happy holiday weekend to all, and please join us again next week, 1130 AM, here on WVOX 1460 AM for another segment of Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. A great weekend, everyone.